All I know is that with each day, right, I think of how I can be intentional about the way in which I lead and the way in which I talk about things with our employees.
You're listening to the Northern Virginia Business Podcast. My name is Jessica Dubois.
And I'm Derek Wynn. Here, we chronicle the stories of successful business owners and executives who stand out from the crowd.
Whether you're driven by purpose or profit, tune in to learn how these leaders have built successful businesses,
helping to shape the landscape of Northern Virginia. Welcome, Kendall.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Kendall, just a quick question to start. Tell us, who's the most important person in your life?
So, you know, I think in terms of important people, right, my family tends to be where I go to be grounded. And, you know, for different aspects of my life, it's different people. But I think the one person who's made the biggest impression on who I became as an adult is my grandfather. He's 95 years old, you know, still very, very, you know, healthy and strong. And, you know, I still talk to him regularly. So he tends to be one of my favorite people.
Well, I mean, that's maybe a great place to start. So tell us a little bit, if you could, you know, just how did your grandfather have such a big impact on your life early on?
Sure. So my mom, in my early childhood, my mom was a single mom, and she and I lived with my grandparents for about 8 years. So I got to see my grandparents every day. So it was my grandfather who was the most prominent man in my life when I was a child. So I learned a lot from him, you know, including things as simple as how to read a map, right? That's one thing that we did. We took a lot of road trips and I was a navigator. So he just tends to be the person I think about and go to first.
So when you use those experiences and you kind of think about, you know, kind of that roadmap, you know, being a navigator like you are, how'd you get to where you are today?
So I normally describe my story as one of a really winding road. I tended to be a more restless employee. I have a degree in computer science and I have an MBA, and I kind of started my process right out of engineering school, taking a job at a large integrator. And I was a developer. I was an application developer. That's what I did. But I knew that didn't suit my skills, my capabilities, right? I did not like always being in front of the computer. I liked solving problems and I liked interacting with our clients. So that kind of led me on my path. And I did lots of different things, lots of different jobs. I was a financial manager. I was a project manager. I worked on proposals. I was in marketing and in strategy, and then ended up in business development. And so I did a lot of different jobs. And so, you know, I'm one of those jack of all trades, kind of expert at it, just one or two.
Well, lead us through how you got to dev. So I want to know, I know you were at HP, but what kind of walk us through what led you on this path to being a CEO?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I was hired right out of college. I went to UVA. I was in the engineering school. And so EDS is actually who hired me off campus. EDS became HP. We were acquired back in 2009. And it was at that point in time where a big company became a ginormous company of HP that I decided I needed to follow my own advice that I would give people to kind of own their careers. And so I decided that I needed to choose where I wanted to be versus having it had been chosen for me, right? So I started to investigate, like, what else could I do? Where should I end up? And I happened to have been on maternity leave with my son right after the acquisition of EDS by HP. And so I looked at three things. I looked at possibly going to the government. I looked at going to a small business because I had only been at a large business. And I also considered starting my own LLC so I could consult. And I kind of had 6 months to figure it out. It was the summertime, and I kind of knew I wasn't going to go back to HP after Christmas. So I just embarked on a parallel path of figuring myself out. So I started an LLC, and I actually took on a couple of clients. And then Dev offered me a job in November of 2009 for that fall in January. I debated it. I had clients now under my LLC. And so should I turn that off and join Dev? And, you know, I had just always been so impressed with the people at Dev and the company they created that I wanted to be a part of it. So I joined.
So tell me the differences between working for a large company and kind of what drew you away from that to doing your own thing and working for a smaller company. What type of characteristics or advantages come with working with a smaller company?
So large companies by nature are very bureaucratic, right? Lots of layers of management, lots of decisions that are not within the control of individuals. And sometimes there's transparency in large organizations, but in those more traditionally run organizations, there's not a lot of transparency down to the employee. So you're a little fish in a gigantic pond. And I think coming to a small company where we're not traded in the stock market, right? It's private ownership, where people were hired by the founders, where values are kind of expressed still to each employee every time a new employee starts, right? There's just a sense of more direct community, and community in the sense of you feel like you have a direct impact. What you do at that organization, you have a direct impact. I didn't feel that very much at EDS. I did for a while, but it became, you know, this much bigger company during the acquisition of HP. And so some of that culture kind of eroded. So when I saw Dev, I mean, I saw such a strong culture. I saw engaged employees. I saw great founders, you know, who were very supportive and transparent. And that really is what made all the difference to me joining Dev from HP. And when I joined Dev, I actually didn't join as CEO. I joined as Vice President of Business Development. I was the first sole business development focused resource at the company because it was a tiny company at the time, probably, you know, 40 people or so. So that was exciting.
Well, and you came in as business development, and mm-hmm. did you have your eye on the CEO spot? Did you think that was even, you know, a possibility in your future?
So honestly, when I joined Dev, you know, they were trying to figure out, they were primarily a subcontractor, right? Not a prime contractor at all. We were probably 99% sub. So I was hired as, you know, this new vice president of business development to help fix the prime sub mix, to give Dev Technology some more control over their own destiny as a prime contractor, right? That was my goal. And so, you know, there were a couple of contracts we were targeting. You know, I agreed I'd be there for at least 2 years, what it took to win those contracts. And then, you know, here we are 10 years later. So I didn't think I was going to be CEO. I thought I was going to come help them for a short period of time, maybe go off and start my own company with their support, actually, with the CEO at the time's support. And I just decided, like, when it came time for me to consider that seriously, it just didn't make sense for me. I felt like I had left stuff undone at Dev, but never that stuff left undone was being the CEO. It was just really doing kind of a great job at helping to build the company in business development. And I didn't really have my eye on the CEO role. I didn't really think that our founder and CEO at the time was going anywhere, right? We're similar in age, you know, it's not like, you know, she's decided to retire, right? She just changed her role and what she does at the organization, but I didn't foresee that. So until she asked me.
So drawing on your experience, Kendall, and kind of going back to your experience with a large, you know, technology integrator and kind of what that felt like and what it left you with, kind of leading up to that pivotal moment where you said, I want to get some more control around this. How do you think that some of that maybe helped to equip you to become that CEO and do a phenomenal job of creating a great culture and community in the process?
So, you know, as I started talking and sharing about who kind of is that go-to person for me and my background and it being my grandfather, right? One of the things that I got from him was that strong work ethic, right? The strong moral compass, right? To be able to do the right thing. And so that's kind of what I've always looked for in an organization. And that's what I found when I joined Dev. I think one of the reasons that Susie was very interested in me becoming CEO was because of those two things. I work hard. I cared hard for the company. I cared about the company as if it were mine. And it was just, it just made sense. I had been part of the growth of the company. And I think the reason I could be such a key component to the growth of the company is because of all the experiences that I had at EDS. You know, I maneuvered my way through so many different roles and jobs that most roles and jobs at the company I had done before in my prior life at EDS. And so I had at least a surface level understanding of how it all worked and how the company worked together and what each of our team members experienced on a daily basis. And for the, so when we talked about me becoming CEO, I mean, it was well in advance of me actually being promoted. So Susie and I spent a lot of quality time together in trying to shore up those areas that I didn't know much about or didn't know how dev those things, right? So I think there's definitely a correlation to that winding path that I took through my career, that restlessness as an employee that I had where I just wanted to do different things for, you know, for different phases in my career that actually helped me and still helps me to this day be a CEO.
Well, you mentioned that when you joined Dev, they had a strong culture. But when we look at Dev from the outside, there's things that I saw like Dev Technology Fun Patrol and also access to like fitness centers and $75 towards a Fitbit. Like, mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of these programs? Were they already in place? And like, just tell us a little bit about them.
So remember, when I joined Dev, it was back in 2010. So it was a pretty small company. There was a really strong culture, but you know, as we've grown and evolved, we've added programs, right? So that is one aspect of my job that I had as Vice President of Business Development and an aspect of my job I have now as CEO, kind of that I hold super seriously, right? It's that adding to the culture. So as the nature and culture of Dev, when I wasn't CEO, was that our executive team, our leadership team, always had a very transparent posture, right? We talked and collaborated about everything. So every new program that we started in the company, even before I was CEO, I had some say, some involvement in. You know, I might not have made the final decision on it, or I might not have sponsored it personally, but I knew it was happening. I contributed to it. I got an opportunity to do that, which all of our executives do at the company still today. So, you know, when you talk about the fun patrol. Yeah, we wanted a fun patrol, right? So did I start that as CEO? No, that predated me as CEO, but I was always a member of the fun patrol, right? I was in the founding class of the fun patrol. I relaunched last year the fun patrol, and we call it, you know, internally fun patrol 2.0, just because we had to change it up a bit. We needed to get some new people involved. So we continue to evolve it. You know, the fun patrol has now gone virtual, right? Because we're all working remotely. So we have virtual events. This week's event is it's painting. We also have fitness, our yoga that you might have seen on our website. That's also gone virtual. We're doing that via Zoom. So I've continued to mature some of our programs, and I've started additional programs. One of the programs that we actually started in the past 6 months or so, we call it Cultural Champions, right? It was actually suggested by one of our employees who was on the project. She actually brought the idea to her manager and to HR, and they brought the idea to me to have kind of this mini cultural ambassador embedded on our projects because of our growth, you know, and bringing on new employees, people who haven't grown up at Dev, right? Just trying to get them more embedded into our programs, get them more engaged, kind of show them the ropes of how they can, you know, make the most of their career at the company. So we started that last year, right? So we've had lots of programs, you have lots of things start, and quite frankly, I don't even remember the timing on some of it. Some of it, I'm not sure if it started under me or as CEO or if it started before me. It just is it's ever evolving. right? I'm the number one cultural, you know, champion, number one cultural police. I love culture. This is the topic. It's fascinating to me, and I love being challenged by it.
Well, and Kendall, I'll give you a nickname if you want to steal it from me. Derek in my office calls me the culture queen, so maybe.
Oh, I like that. I haven't been called the culture queen yet, but I might steal that. I'll have to get a little tiara or something.
That's way more fun than the culture police.
Exactly. I agree, 100%.
You think about, you know, history and some of this stuff. I mean, it's kind of fun to see how companies evolve, right? I mean, we started a program years ago called Random Acts of Awesomeness, right? So where do you kind of see things, you know, as we move forward, as far as future state? I mean, what kinds of challenges do you foresee Dev and other companies like Dev facing when it comes to, one, maybe preserving that culture that they've built, but also number two, continuing to grapple with really just the current environment we're in here. It's June 9th. You know, what are the different changes that you expect to see over the next maybe 6, 12, 18 months?
So we are in extraordinary times, right? Like, I mean, I don't know how many times we've heard people say that, but it is true. And anytime I think about it, right, I've been on more leadership webinars and Zoom calls and, you know, just us, everyone trying to unpack kind of what we're going through and how do you lead through that. I think first and foremost, we're going to see a big change, and we've already started to see it, on what the expectation is to be at work. You know, obviously lots of companies had really, you know, really progressive remote postures, but I think we're gonna continue to see that evolve, especially in this area. You know, the federal government, who is the majority of our work is with the federal government, right? They're our biggest client. They've been kind of lagging a bit, right, in the remote work from home models, right? A lot of their work has been on site, on premises, or in, you know, a corporation site. It may not be on a government site, but they specify to work on a corporation site. And so I actually literally had this conversation with our president and CFO today that we just need to watch the signals, right, around where people need to work. We have a lot of real estate. And if we're seeing people not want to come into those spaces, which no one's coming into our spaces right now, but as we evolve, not wanting to come into the spaces, preferring to work at home, we're going to need to evolve with that, right? I think we'll start to see even our clients becoming more flexible on work arrangements. So that's one. With that, culture has to change. I mentioned I just did an orientation yesterday with 6 new employees, and you know, we've migrated our full day orientation, which used to be all in person, to all remote, all virtual. And it's different, yes, but we're using Zoom. Everybody's on camera. We still get to see them. So it's working, you know, it's working. Would I like to meet them in person? Of course. And I think there'll be a time when that happens. But I think we're all figuring out more innovative ways of working. I think my role, responsibility as CEO at Dev is to be transparent, to share what I can when I can with our employees on what's happening. You know, we've been doing that throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And even in this last week, in response to the George Floyd murder and resulting protests. So I sent out a very intentional email. I'll call it intentional, a very intentional email to all of our employees, just so they knew where I stood, because I felt like I had to say something, right? We saw emails from our clients. We saw emails from the businesses we were using. So I think, you know, we're seeing history being made right now as well, right? In terms of race relations and, you know, all of that, all of these organizations who have spoken out now as a result of George Floyd's murder. So there's so much going on. Derek and Jessica, I don't even know like where we're going to be. All I know is that with each day, right, I think of how I can be intentional about the way in which I lead and the way in which I talk about things with our employees.
Well, I think that's really, you know, a great point to dig into, because, you know, Kendall, listening to your story, I don't know if there's much you've done that doesn't seem like it's without intention, right? So, you know, back up, I mean, you know, you ended up at UVA likely for a specific reason. You know, you left your prior employer for your own reasons. And you kind of went and did this path that led you to where someone else is very intentional about putting you in that driver's seat. So talk to us a little bit about that. I mean, having control is something I keep on hearing in this, and just your intention and your drive and your work ethic driving kind of where you go. You know, think about this in two different areas. One, you know, if you're a business and you don't have those two things, especially today, especially the intention aspect, do you think that spells trouble for that business?
I do, right? I'm a strategist by nature. I've always, as you pointed out, I've always had this strategy, this plan, this approach. And it's not that it's long-term. In some cases, it has been, but it certainly has been an intentional creation, right? So I knew that coming out of high school, I was going to an engineering school. I picked UVA for a very specific reason. You figured me out, right? I picked UVA because it was within a driving distance of New Jersey, and it had a good engineering school and a great reputation, right? And it was a beautiful campus, and I knew one or two people who were going there. So that's why I picked UVA. I picked EDS after UVA because they came and recruited me on campus, and I knew that I would have a job once I said yes in January before I graduated, right? Like, so that was very intentional. So yes, I think that my desire, my enjoyment of strategy and figuring out problems and logical thought, right? The logical thought that, you know, my engineering degree certainly fostered in me is why I do things with intention, right? I believe that planning is good. I believe that companies that aren't strategizing and that aren't looking towards the future, you really are leaving things up to chance. You know, we've been having a discussion with some of our kind of next generation leaders in the company about what it means to grow. Like, why do we focus on growth? It's not that we focus on growth because we want to make a gazillion dollars and, you know, throw it in the bank. We focus on growth because as a company, if you're not growing, what are you doing? Are you stagnating? Are you dying off? Are you just leaving it to chance? And, you know, anytime we have employees who want new opportunities, who want to grow, like without us focused on growth and a growth strategy, how can that be possible, right? So it really all comes back to that culture of the company, right? The strategy is so that we maintain the culture, we maintain our employees, we give them a good place to work, a top place to work, you know, somewhere that they enjoy coming to and enjoy being with their colleagues and feel like that we're conscious as a company, right? That's one, my latest book that I've read, business book, is Conscious Capitalism, right? And so making those conscious decisions and having a conscious strategy and an intentional strategy is super important to being a successful company.
Now, and I think that everything that you've said reminds me of what you told us before the call, and that was, it's all about the people. And I know one area where you feel passionate about is giving back. And this is as an organization, but also personally. Can you tell us more about how the organization and you give back to the community and how you choose what community or what organizations you get involved in?
Yes, I can definitely talk about that. So, you know, one thing that I'll start off with saying is that, you know, that was another characteristic of Dev and Dev's founders, Susie Sylvester and Sanjeev Dugal, that I certainly wanted to uphold as the CEO of Dev, right? Our give back posture. And actually, I mentioned Susie didn't retire. She didn't. She promoted herself to executive chair, and she spends most of her time as Dev's ambassador to the community, right? So that's what she enjoys doing with several organizations in Northern Virginia and DC. And so I also enjoy it. So we kind of share that, right? So I, even outside of Dev, whether it's things that my kids are involved in directly, whether it's church, whether it's separate, you know, programs for teenagers and kids. Giving back is something that I feel is part of my responsibility, right? As a human, as a mom, as a CEO, as an engineer when I was an engineer, right? I've been very fortunate. I've had lots of opportunity, right? I don't come from a rich or affluent family, but I came from a very supportive family. And so because of that, I felt like whatever I've attained, I have a responsibility to try and help others, right? In some form or fashion. And so I do that personally. I do it through the company, as I mentioned. And, you know, we as dev do it together as well, right? And so a lot of it is money, right? We raise money. I give money. We do a big December giving, you know, a holiday giving campaign where we at all offices participate. We have an office in DC, office in Reston, an office in New Jersey, and then we have teams in other locations that are not dev-owned space, and we let everyone participate. And we try and find projects that that particular area office is passionate about and wants to help in their community, right? I personally, one of Dev's community organizations that we support is After School All-Stars DC. I recently, in the past year, joined the board of After School All-Stars DC because I enjoyed their mission, right? It's all about giving middle school kids an option, right, of something to do after school so that they have some choices, right, so that they get exposed to enrichment opportunities, just things that they may not have had an opportunity to do without After School All-Stars DC. So I personally get involved, and I encourage our teams to get involved as well. One of the things that has been one of my pet projects during COVID-19 has been giving back to those on the front line and those communities who are suffering the most because of COVID-19. And so I've challenged our employees to also give, right? We put together a list of nonprofits that we either have supported as a company or individuals have recommended to us. And we shared that out with our team. I actually did some drawings even based on proof that you've given to, you know, that an employee gave to a particular organization. And so it's something that I think we love to do as a group and we love to do as individuals. The other project that we had just wrapped up before COVID-19, we had two high school graduating seniors approach us. They wanted to build a well in a community in Uganda, a well of fresh water that would support five villages. And the reason they did, it's an organization that one of the girls was involved with, and they learned that there were very young girls sent to fetch water miles away from their villages at a river, a dirty river. And that was a project they became passionate about. And so when they approached us, we adopted the project as our Women's History Month fundraiser. And we asked our employees to give funds to help build the well. And Dev, as a company, matched our fundraising by our employees dollar for dollar. And so we were able to give over $5,000 towards the well project. And so, yeah, like we just do it in so many different ways. It's even hard for me to describe because I feel like we're constantly involved in the community, whether it's hands-on or a project like the well project that we just talked about.
And I think going to the community, I mean, you look at kind of where we are here in Northern Virginia, and you talk about a place that just never ceases to evolve, whether it's the skyline and the companies in it. You know, where do you see Northern Virginia going? You know, will it continue to be a great place for business? Will it continue to be a great community? What's your outlook over the next maybe 5 years here?
So Northern Virginia, DC, Maryland, right? If you talk about it in terms of the DC metro, I mean, we are a very fortunate area, right? There's tons of opportunity. You know, it's the home of the federal government. It's, you know, a place where many people of many different cultures have coalesced and come together. You know, I remember hearing a statistic very early on when I moved to this area that Fairfax County, there were people who spoke over 100 different languages, right, in Fairfax County schools. And so to me, that provides tremendous opportunity. I think that we're going to continue to see evolution in the area. I mean, we continue to see business moved to the area, we, you know, obviously Amazon was our biggest new business that joined this community. So I think it's going to continue to be a vibrant area that draws a lot of people of a lot of different cultures, which we're all the better for, right? It's super diverse. I often describe this area as a bubble, right? We live, you know, almost in a model that if you were to take someone from, let's say, the middle of the country, they wouldn't even have seen an area that was, number one, this diverse, this flush with jobs and opportunity, this flush with culture and, you know, opportunities for you to engage in museums and plays and, you know, orchestra, opera, right? Pretty much the world is our oyster in this area. And I think over the 5 years, it's going to continue to be that. We'll see changes, of course, but I think we have a bright future in this area.
Well, and kind of going off what you said was that I think it's combining, we were talking about giving back, and then we talk about how affluent this area is, and then hopefully seeing over the next 5 years that this finds a way to intertwine. Because I don't think that, I agree with you, and I don't think that we realize how good we have it until we are made aware of what life is like in other areas. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of go off of that, I would like to focus in on you when we're talking about the future or the next, you know, I know 5 years is kind of hard to plan out. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing next month. But looking at you and your short-term goals, like where do you see yourself and Dev over the next couple of years?
So we actually at Dev happen to be going through our next phase of planning, our Dev 22X goal setting. So we're mapping that out. I do see us growing as a company. What that percentage growth looks like, I can't really say. It's actually going to be done and selected in collaboration with our executive team. So we'll be collaborating on what that number looks like over the next 3, 4, 5 years. I think for myself, you know, I'm hopeful that I'll still be, you know, as passionate about doing the job of CEO as I am today. I think I will, because when I look at the opportunities we have in front of us as a company and me as an individual for individual growth, they really are tremendous. I remember I said I like problem solving. So even in those circumstances that are a bit, you know, not necessarily questionable, but are a bit challenging, right, to look at right now, setting aside anything we're going through with COVID or protests or any of that, but even those business challenges that we have to overcome. I love solving those problems. You know, I love competing. I mean, you know, one thing that everybody knows about me at work is that I am very competitive. And so I like to win. So I'm going to go forward with both feet, both hands to try and solve our challenges that we have as a company and, you know, do so in collaboration with our executive team, which is a lot of fun for me. So I think, you know, we're looking to expand, you know, we have a big federal footprint right within a specific department in the government. So we're looking to expand outside of that. You know, we're looking to maybe add a few capabilities here and there as we do so. But ultimately, you know, I don't foresee, I can't write out our whole 5-year strategy or my 5-year strategy. But what I do see is continued growth, continued capability expansion as we continue to grow and become an emerging large business. So those are my thoughts on the next 5 years.
And Kendall, if anyone else out there is looking for help to solve problems or to help to rise to the occasion and challenge you on anything and compete, how can they get in touch with you?
So they can reach out either through our website, which is just devtechnology.com, or they can email me, kendall.holbrook@devtechnology.com.
Awesome. Kendall Holbrook, thank you so much. This has been an awesome episode and tons of great insights out there for other business owners and executives here in Northern Virginia.
Great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to this episode and subscribe to future episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us that 5-star review so that we can get our podcast out to more and more listeners. If you are a business leader or know of any business leaders that you would like to nominate to be a guest on the show, please visit us at thenovabusinesspodcast.com.